You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your night. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Excuse me. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do. I'll try that again. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do and should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, you got it done anyway. In spite of the crises that we're experiencing, if you had to get it done. But if you didn't, you stayed home. And that's the bottom line. Stay home. You're listening to African Perspectives here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives. Click on timeforanawakening.com, or go to timeforanawakening.com, and you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and then you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. And I thank to my good brother, Brother Kwaku, and I appreciate him very much for doing what's best for us here in Time for an Awakening. Okay. I'm trying to get it together today. When I jumped on, I didn't even have my Google Chrome up. I got into a little tizzy there, man. I'm like, what's going on? It's always something, you know? These things are not exact. And, of course, they're not controlled by us either. So that's another factor, and that's another reality. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This evening, Monday, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. After that program, Conversation Reparation with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Always good conversations. Last week's conversation was something else, Doc. you may have to have a continuation. That was a great program, brother. Boy, after Tuesday, we got to go all the way to Friday. That's right. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Monday through Friday, the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. When you go to the website, you'll see a number of products that are produced by us. They used to have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. But, you know, it's a lot of things are going to be closing down. Just the fact of reality. Just the fact of the reality. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tayemba, I talked to him earlier, and he said that
nothing is necessarily canceled. It's just going to be reprogrammed. And so obviously the trip to Senegal and Gambia in April 3rd through the 13th, that is not going to take place at that time, but it will take place, possibly also the trip in May 25th to June 5th, going to Ghana. Trips that are more likely to happen are South African Roots Tour, the November 20th to November 30th, and then the Ghana Tour again, and that's December 24th to January 5th, 2021. That more likely will take place, as well as next year, Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th, 2021. So check with Brother Mamani Tahimba. The number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Brother Mamani Tahimba, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And when you go to that site, you'll see that he has everything that you're going to need to make your trip possible. You can download the paperwork, the visa, all of that. So check with my brother. Renoka Rashidi, his trip is later in the year as well. It's October 5th through the 16th, going to Uganda and Rwanda for $4,200. Beautiful pictures as his brother has, Brother Baba Renoko has, as well as, excuse me. And then the African, later in October, that trip to Uganda and Rwanda is October 5th through the 16th. A few days later, October 22nd through November 4th, he's going to Kemet. And man, you're going to see those pictures, but more importantly, the seeing pictures. You want to experience it. You want to be there. So Africa for the Africans and Renoko, I think two are very affordable trips for both of them. A slight down payment, and then to begin to pay on it monthly. And then when it comes up, you're ready to go. You're ready to go. Habesha. Habesha means helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habeshaincorporated.org. Go to Habeshaincorporated.org and look what they are doing. The Kashi program. The mission of Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. They have a number of programs that they have. Habesha Works, Black to the Roots, Black to Our Roots, and Sustainable Seeds and the Golden Growers. Habesha. And go to the Kashi Project, which is in effect at this time. They are they're in Ghana, and they're building, they're preparing. So that's something that we should all be proud of, but more importantly, we should all support. We should all support Habesha. Shrine of the Black Madonna. I talked to Baba Olatunje, and of course the class is not happening. The building is I'm not sure if they're still open Wednesday through Saturday, and I'm not sure of the hours. I didn't ask that. I just asked about the class. But also, too, you can get the multimedia library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment, the multimedia library. And then the Shrine of Black Madonna, located here in the West End, and all of the shrines, the one in Detroit, that's where the shrine began, the one in Houston, it's huge in Houston, where everything's big in Texas, right? And, of course, here in Atlanta, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But one place that is open, and that is the Medu Bookstore, Mama Nia. She has a wide range of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, a number of things. She's located in the Greenbrier Mall. The mall is open from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday from 12 to 6. You need to give Sister a call. Just give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And the other bookstore that I promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Kazemde Ajamu. And he has his coffee bar open, and you can go in and have a nice cup of African coffee, like the one I drink, the Cameroon Boyo, which is delicious coffee, and other brands, Kenya and so forth. And, of course, he has books. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, the Nagash shoes for sale, and other items, T-shirts and so forth. And that is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. You know why? Because there is light in the Black Dot. And yes, it is. There's light in the Black Dot. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Yah, of course, school is out. And I'm quite sure Baba Baruti is probably working on another book, one of many other things, you know, for this downtime. But please, brothers and sisters, they need your financial help, because they seek no help outside of us, no help outside of our community. Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's once again, Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, the $ YAA. Then the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, and Sister Gabby is in the northeast corner of Haiti in the mountain area, in the rural area, doing great work. Go to the website, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Oh, I'd forgotten. No, I didn't forget. Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Every Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us. Ulu. And I had a conversation with my good brother who provided the delicious vitality drink, Ambrosia, Brother Novak Young. Had a conversation with him. I'll probably have him on the program soon. And Us Lifting Us. And just love to go to the cafe and have a drink of coffee or have a drink of that vitality drink and smoothies and wraps. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, as the saying goes, and obviously if it was around this time, we'd probably definitely be closer because of the issues that are happening, you know? So a lot of stuff that is going to be closing down or not happening, and hopefully they'll be able to get back. You know, they'll be able to get back. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, March 29th. Rather than continuing struggling to make European-centered value systems more humane, we have to replace those value systems with one that is African-centered. I'm going to read it again. Rather than continuing struggling to make European-centered value systems more humane, we have to replace those value systems with one that is African-centered. Baba Jedi Shimshu Jehudi, Dr. Jake Carruthers. Europeans altered their cardinal directions north, south, north, west, and east to fit their political objectives of global mental domination. They have changed south to north and north to south. What was once is now down, and what was up is now down, and now down is up, turning the world upside down to fit their small, inverted, egotistical minds. They knew full well that they were changing African truth into European lies. They knew whose memory they had to destroy in order to take credit for the light. The effort they put into geographically inverting the planet itself to speaks for itself. Europeans only stole what they could understand and reasonably incorporate into the designs of European culture. So we are left to wonder just what maps and scientific manuscripts were destroyed as they pillaged and burned our ancestral libraries. Affirm, I know my cardinal directions. Affirm, I know my cardinal directions. Because as you know, when you looked at ancient Kemet, you know, because of the flow of the river flows from south to north. Down river was going north. Up river was going south. March 30th. You've got to be prepared to lose your life in order to gain your life. You've got to be prepared to lose your life in order to gain your life. Queen Mother Audrey Moore. Queen Mother Moore. Move away from the male-only warrior designation. It may work wonders for a weakened, bruised ego, but singular role of males as warriors is un-African and ahistorical, non-historical. Lest we forget Queen Nzinga, Queen Judith of the Fauces, Nefertari Amos, Queen Hatshepsut, Queen Makeda of Sheba, Yah Santiwa, Queen Nandi, and Queen Tai were some of our best African warrior queens and our best African warriors, period. African women on the continent and throughout the diaspora remain part and parcel of the African fighting tradition. I dare you to dismiss Asada Shakur, Winnie Mandela, Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Amy Jacques Garvey, or Queen Mother Moore. Sisters remain a clear and present threat to European manhood, womanhood, and ultimately the survival of their nation. Why do you think that now, after 133 years of incarcerating free African men, they are after African women? Between 1985 and 1995, the incarceration rate for African men increased 130%, but jumped almost 200% for African women. We apparently missed the point of genocide. Europeans fear the power of the African woman as they fear the power of the African man. Affirm, I honor all of our warriors. Affirm, I honor all of our warriors. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, that's interesting. When I go to the Inye Sesim, and when I'm talking about a topic for that day, it just so happens that the thought of that day is the subject. I didn't plan it. In fact, I just picked it up just a moment ago to read it for us. Today is March, Women's Month. March is Women's Month. And today we're going to honor our sisters. We're going to talk about beautiful African women, some known, some unknown, talking about the great things that sisters have done and continue to do, and why sisters need to be held and protected. There's something that we don't do because we live in a society that has never valued women. Sometimes we need to understand that, because that's the part that we don't understand. We live in a society that has never valued women. It has relegated women to a subservient position. How did that happen, you say? Because we all know, you know, aside from biblical stories and other fables and fairy tales, the fact is that the woman has born all of us. Out of a woman we come. It is through the woman. That's why on the continent, we understood there was a complementarity between men and women. And we honored women. You rose through the woman's line. Women are revered and respected. But in European society, see, you've got to know how we develop. Looking at Dr. Shekhanta Jop, his two cradle theory of development, he said there was a northern cradle and a southern cradle. In the southern cradle, there was a love of other people outside of themselves. So there was no fear to xenophilia. There was no fear of people. And of course, if we look at their history, you've seen how we have welcomed people. It's like other people of other human beings, particularly human beings who are melanated of color and so forth. No fear. They welcome people. The European, unfortunately, he's not that. Yeah, that ain't a European. You know. But I'll talk about him in a minute. So there's other things that we understood because of that true cradle theory of human development. You know, we understood about cultivating soil. We understood about growing food. There were so many things that we had that was a model for literally for the world. We're the first people on the planet. We're the first people. People came from us. People came from us. And what makes human beings different is the ability to adapt to the environments that they find themselves in. I know there's theories, different other theories, and I understand that. Go with that. I'm trying to go with what I think is most plausible, as far as I'm concerned. Most rational. And so, the European being cut off by that ice age, he developed a different mindset. He was xenophobic, fear of anything outside of him, but also too very selfish, very greedy, very warlike, and did not like women. No history to this present day of complementarity. Just women as object. In fact, some men just thought, we don't need women to love ourselves. When you look at ancient Kemet and you look at the Medu Netcher, or what the Greeks call hieroglyphs, you look at the statues, you look at the monuments, you look at all these things, you see men and women, and not a woman in the background, a woman side by side with her man. With men. But in Europe, you see statues of men with boys. You see statues of men with other men. You see statues of men embracing. Because they didn't have that. That is not a part of their evolutionary development. They were lovers of themselves. They alienated women, turned women off. That's why the women, many women went to the island of Lesbo. They went to the island of Lesbo, where you get the word lesbian. And of course, everything you watch on television today, there's always some kind of homosexual reference. No matter what the programs, no matter if they're geared towards us or anybody else, you know, I've watched a lot of Netflix. You know, Netflix news. There's hardly any sports. So, a lot of Netflix. And so I watched Self-Made. The story of Madam C.J. Walker. Madam C.J. Walker. Sarah Breedlove. And, of course, many people took issue with some of the storytelling and artistic licensing. I'm not sure if her daughter was homosexual or not. You know, based on how the story looked, it looked like a woman approached her. She didn't approach another woman. You know, she was married to some guy, and that wasn't happening anyway. And, of course, the story dealt with the, you know, light-skinned, dark-skinned, unfortunate dynamic. And what was interesting at the end of the movie when the sister was trying to destroy Madam C.J. Walker, she told him, you know, the Caucasian is lynching us, is killing us. We could have worked together. We could have really worked together. But see, understand something. Understand something. Oh, I just got a text. I'm not being heard on TuneIn. That's unfortunate. I think what I'll try to do, because I heard myself on TuneIn, because usually when I come on, I go to TuneIn to see if I'm hearing myself. And I was. But once again, sometimes you get bumped off, and that could have possibly happened, you know. So I was hearing myself, so that was some good information I just received. Okay. Yeah, they're saying they're not hearing me on TuneIn. There's something wrong. Well, let me try to let me see if I can find a way to put myself on there. Back on TuneIn. I'll try. If not, I'll just continue the program the way it is. Because it's recording. Not necessarily broadcasting, but it is recording. So anyway, let me get back to what I'm talking about here. In the movie, in the biopic, you know, once again, they always have what is called artistic licensing. And what that is that they embellish things. They make things, to kind of spruce up the story, you know. And put characters in places where there weren't characters, just like what they did for the Harriet Tubman movie, you know. And a lot of us had problems with that, you know. So, but for those who want to listen, you can always go. I just got another text. And Brother Marcus said he's hearing me. I thank him for that. Brother Marcus said he's hearing me. So I don't know, you know. He said, I'm hearing you. We initially weren't hearing you, but we're hearing you now. Well, let's hope that continues. And, of course, the number to call if you just want to listen is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You got one person hanging out here. Let me catch this call here. 404-453.
Hey, peace and blessing there, Brother Ochi.
Is this Wes?
Yes, sir. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing fine, dear brother. How have you been, man?
Hey, I've been out here working, man, and now my job been shut down. You know how it goes, so yeah. I got a little bit of downtime, I guess, man.
Well, right on. Well, I'm glad you could join me today, man. Yeah, we're all sorry to hear that fact. That jobs are being
you know. And possibility that some people may even not even get hired back because of how economically strained those businesses will be. They may have to cut back on a number of things, particularly employment, workers. So, you know, yeah.
It's tough. So my job saying that whenever they crank back up there, we got the option of coming back. But
okay.
It's all good, man. What you think about this whole thing, man? I think it's just biblical proportion, man. It's got to be.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about it Wednesday, so I hope you can come on Wednesday. I'm going to talk about the COVID-19, the coronavirus, because there's just so much out there on a constant basis. So I'm going to try to bring some clarity, if I could, to it based upon some of the things that I heard. I might even muddle it up some more, though. Who knows? Because there's so many different perspectives, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure our people. But number one, let's just be real. People are dying. People are dying. The first two people in Milwaukee, I'm from Milwaukee, and the first two people in Milwaukee are two people that I know, you know, that I grew up with. And one was a brother I went to high school with. He was also a firefighter, and he went off on duty disability from the fire department. And he was tending bar a lot of places. And so he had a heart condition when I first moved here to Atlanta, and he overcame that. And but then the virus hit him, and brothers and sisters, he went down fast. His son, because he was a firefighter and the first one to die of the COVID-19 virus, he was on television. They did a little piece on him on the news, and his son was talking about it. He said his son, he got sick, he went to the hospital, and 2 days later, he was dead. Because this virus is pneumonia. That's what it is. And so the other brother, the next brother that died, I also knew, who was a former police officer. He was the president of the Black Police Officers Association. At the same time, I was the president of the Black Firefighters Association in Milwaukee. And we worked together on a few things. And once he retired, he got a doctorate degree and did some teaching and was appointed to the parole board by the governor at the time. And then he moved south. I believe he moved to Mississippi. And then he comes back to Milwaukee, and he gets the virus. He came back to check on his property in Milwaukee and some other issues, and he gets it. And a couple of days later, he dies. Understand something, that your age, that as you age, your metabolism and your immune system slows down. It's not as strong as when you're younger. And then if you have preconditions, i.e. diabetes, any kind of heart problems, any kind of respiratory problems, i.e. COPD or whatever, asthma, all those factors can make you susceptible. So for me, I've had pneumonia a few times, you know.
Yeah, I had it one time too, man. Pneumonia ain't no joke, man.
No, brother, but that's what the virus is. The virus is pneumonia. And so if you had it before, you can easily get it again. It's not like, okay, you had pneumonia and you were cured, now you're immune. No, that's not the case. In fact, when I first got it, was in 06. It was October of 06. And then I got it again in May of 07. And both of those times put me in the hospital for 11 days. Put me in the hospital for 11 days. And then in between October of 06 and May of 07, I got it two more times, you know? So pneumonia is no joke, but that's what this is, you know, goes into your nose and gets into your trachea, into your lungs, fills your lungs up rapidly with fluid, and you die. So it's not a joke. So I'm going to talk about this on Wednesday and have some couple of things. And so hopefully you can listen and try to see if I can get a resource person on. But I mean, I got enough.
Yes, sir.
Got enough stuff here.
Yes, I got the patent numbers, so they got a U.S. patent and a European patent. So it is made in a laboratory. I'm going to send you them patent numbers, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, they have patent on all that kind of stuff that they develop.
Right.
You know, just like, you know, I may play, because there's a piece with Fauci and Trevor Noah. I think it's a good piece. It's pretty direct.
But check this out, man. I found out that Cuba, you know, they got the best doctors in the world, man. But Cuba, they got a cure. It's called alpha interferon, man. And these damn Trump now.
Well, alpha interferon was also used in for treating AIDS. But my point is, with Fauci, he was adamant that AIDS was not created. And of course, that's a good government line because AIDS was created. And AIDS is a biological weapon, was created in Fort Detrick, Maryland in the late 70s. And
check this out, man. Check this out about your boy Fauci. He came out in 2017 saying Trump going to be faced with a major epidemic, man. See, I research all the fools that be bumping their guns. So Fauci knew in 2017 that this shit was going to be out here unless he had something to do with it, man.
Well, you never know.
Investigate, that's, folks.
Yeah, well, you know, Wes, there's always people who throw stuff out. Sometimes they throw it out correctly. Sometimes they don't. So, but once again, I'm going to talk about that on Wednesday and try to shoot some good stuff at you. But right now, I want to talk about our women. I want to talk about, because this is Women's Month. And of course, tomorrow's the last day of Women's Month. Earlier in the month, I did talk about Sharshi McIntyre and the contributions that she has made as an educator and a dedicated sister. You know, a lot of people don't know about her. And I also talked about Callie House, who was the first one to push for reparations, slave pensions, as they were called. And the things that she went through. And, of course, Mary Frances Berry, who used to be on the U.S. Commission of Civil Wrongs, she wrote a book about Callie House. I met Mary Frances Berry a couple times when I was in D.C. Good sister, you know. And so a lot of times we don't talk about our women. In fact, that's why I'm saying when I read the Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, you know, it talked about women and women warriors.
Since you say everything in European, I'm just like you, everything they told us been a damn lie.
Mm-hmm.
So since they saying talking about God was a woman, I'm thinking God is a man.
Right.
But I'm thinking perhaps God might be a woman.
Well, for sure.
Woman energy.
For sure. Because you need that. But once again, for us, we have always looked at women in a complementarity measure. It's the relationship between men and women is symbiotic. It is its duality. When you talk about Ma'at, what is one of the virtues of Ma'at? Balance, order, harmony, reciprocity, balance. So if you have a man, you got to have a woman. And it's not a man up here and a woman down there. There's a man and a woman side by side. I stated earlier, when you look at ancient Kemet, when you look at the Medu Netra, what the Greeks call hieroglyphs, when you look at statues, when you look at carvings, when you look at the temples, you see men and women together. When you understand that it was a woman that ruled Kemet for 21 years, Queen Hatshepsut, and there were other influencing women. So women have played a major integral role and will continue to do so.
So I even know though this thing, is when I argue with a woman, especially a black woman, I have a bad day, man. So I learned a long time ago. I'm not arguing with no woman, bro.
There you go,
I'm
Wes.
Serious, man. I'm serious, bro.
We got another call, 646-646. How you doing? 646, good morning.
Hey, OTO, what's going on with Research West?
Research,
hey, what's going on? Hey, bro.
Research West. That's right.
Hey, listen, Oshie, what's happening with Tudin?
What's happening with who?
What's happening with the Tudin? There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it good on Tudin, man. I heard it good. It worked good for me. It just had to reboot, but it's working good. It had to refresh.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, Wes, you're special, man. So most things gonna work for you anyway because of that, I guess, number 5 vibe you on. And what you call it, but I know it ain't working for me today. So, hey, it happens, man. I keep on telling you, man, y'all magic Negroes, man, get things done.
It's energy, man. You can do it too. It's all in us, man. The most, it's our time, bro. So once you tune in, right, tune in. The universe works for all of us. It's our time, black people. I keep trying to tell y'all, man. This our time for everybody, black, man.
Yeah.
I hear you, Wes. How are they treating you in Atlanta? Are you working or are you on lockdown like everybody else?
Right now I'm on lockdown, man. See, I'm telling y'all the job I work at, man. We building a Facebook. I work at Facebook, man.
You work at Facebook?
Yeah. They're building the largest, they're building about three or four data centers in Facebook, man, all over the country.
Oh,
so the one in New York shut down.
Uh-huh.
And I think the one in North Carolina shut down. And they just shut us down last Wednesday. Because, see, we had to fill out a paper. All of a sudden, we had to fill out a questionnaire. Oh, are you sick? Or have you been around anybody with the virus? Have you had blah, blah, blah?
Mm-hmm.
So most people put no. But I guarantee one cat put, yeah, he got the thing, and they shut the whole job
down. Yeah, well, that's understandable. That's understandable how contagious it is. Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yeah, it seems like this pandemic is causing problems that the country wasn't even prepared for.
Well, the world wasn't prepared for it.
But got an idiot in office that basically doesn't want to give the necessary authority or listen to the people in order to really get this thing under control.
Well, listen, Jay. Listen,
states' rights.
Listen, Jay, we're going to talk about this in depth on Wednesday's program. But today, even though this is the last broadcast in the month of March, the month of March was Women's Month. And even though a lot of us didn't know that because it was not deeply promoted, there was not a lot of things you heard on television, on the news and so forth, programs and so forth, not a lot of it. Because Europeans don't value women, but Africans do. And so, as I was saying, I read the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought for today, March 30th. They have a quote by Queen Mother Moore. And then Baba Baruti's narrative is outstanding, giving credit to sisters that are always on the front line. So we want to talk about that and give them props. I have another caller, 267.
We had a great show Friday for that.
Yeah.
I can tell you that both of those sisters were on point in the type of queens that we need leading us, man. I enjoyed that show.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. In fact, I'm going to get a program about this sister who is in prison because she's a medical doctor, but she's also a holistic healer and why she's in prison and got sentenced to some time. I ain't talking about some months. She got sentenced to some years because she did not push vaccines. So we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. So be prepared for that particular program. But 678-678-902. Good morning. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, brother Oshie.
Hey, Ralph.
All right, man. I called in to put you on speakerphone because you tune-in was acting up.
Yeah.
It came on briefly, and then it blanked back off. And so, you know, I just called up. I just wanted to hear the program. And also, you know, it's a Dr. Jennifer Daniels, man. I want to get more on her.
Dr. Jennifer Daniels?
Yeah. She actually left the country because, you know, she's one of those holistic doctors.
Yeah.
She pushed she pushed this thing about turpentine, which a lot of our grandparents used to use the sap of the tree that was actually 100% gum turpentine to treat illnesses. And she basically said it rids the body. So since this is Women's Month, the last day of it, you know, I said, like, you know, I want to know more about Dr. Jennifer Daniels because the sister seemed like she has followers all around the world, just that she's not known here.
Okay.
And I just want to get a little bit more research on her.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, you know, this country, and you know, I got to say it, you know, I heard Jay saying something about this country wasn't prepared. they're so greedy and wanting capitalism that they overlook situations like this. And I remember when those masks first came out, I got some. My family, you know, my wife, me, I wore a respirator. I ain't playing with the thing. So I wore a chemical respirator out yesterday. And people were looking at me like, I want one of those. But you can't get them now. But, you know, I that's what I wore out, man, because, you know, now I'm starting to get videos of these people going in the hospital and how this thing really, when it takes a hold of you.
Yeah.
Man,
well, that's the point I was making. That's the point I was making, Ralph, that I mentioned that the two brothers in Milwaukee, they went down fast. And because for me, it's a concern. I'm not scared, y'all. I'm concerned.
No, I'm
very
not
aware.
Either.
But the bottom line is, I know if I get it, I will die because I've had pneumonia seriously a couple of times. So I'm susceptible. And so if I get it, you know, and the fact there is no, in fact, even though I did have, I don't take vaccines, but I do take an ammonia shot because I've had it so often. So I do take an ammonia shot. That's one thing I know I definitely don't want to get. Pneumonia ain't no joke, you know.
No,
so,
no, sir.
Yeah. So then.
Yeah, so no, I was just calling in, man, because like I said, I just wanted to listen, but I had to add that about what Jay was saying. They're so greedy.
Yeah.
They're so greedy in this country that it's not even human like.
Well,
be
you
that
see,
because when this thing first started coming out, they were telling people, oh, those dust masks and this, that, and the other don't work. Don't, you know, this, that, the other. But Korea and China are now saying the reason why their numbers are going down because everybody was wearing them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't trust nothing. Dr. Faraji or whatever.
Fauci.
That's right.
We can't even trust him. You know what I mean? I don't touch. So every time they come on the tube, matter of fact, our TV's been off all morning long. Me and my wife are here in the house. And our TV's been off all morning. We've been listening to independent talk radio shows like yours.
I hear you.
So it's much needed,
I hear you.
And that's why.
Well, we're going to talk about it, but make sure you listen on Wednesday so you can contribute, because I'm definitely going to be talking about this on Wednesday, because it is
okay,
bro. Serious.
Well, I'm going to go back on mute,
all right?
All
right, brother. All right.
All right, brother Ralph.
Okay, Ralph. Well said. Later. All right, 602. Good morning.
Yeah, but I just listening because they done knocked you off the radio again. They done knocked you off. So
they did, huh? They knocked me off again, did they? So I know, you know, sometimes tune in be tripping, I guess. I know, like I said, when I begin the broadcast, what I do is I go to, once I go on at 11 o'clock, I go to tune in to see if I'm on tune in. And this morning I did that, and yes, I was on. So I thought everything was cool. So I know I may not be broadcasting on TuneIn, but I'm broadcasting. So if you call in, you can listen that way. It is being taped on radio. I'd have those other measures. So, you know, I'm ready to roll. So
hey,
I'm going to go. I appreciate it, brother. Marcus, also, I appreciate the information that you have sent on WhatsApp. Definitely appreciate that information. I will be using some of that information on Wednesday's program to talk about COVID-19 or the coronavirus or this pandemic that is going around. I'm going to take a break. So when I come back from the break, you stay with us. Once again, we are honoring sisters. We're honoring our sisters who definitely need to be honored and supported. This is the second to the last day of March of Women's Month. And so when I come back, I'll talk about why you really didn't hear anything about this, because the society doesn't really value women. But African people and African culture has always understood the importance of women, have never relegated women to a subservient or lower position. So we're going to talk about that and the beauty of all our sisters, you know. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Once again, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Continue to listen, because we'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
dripping all over me.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday evenings from 6 p.m. to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Brother Wahad, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. So I know I've been having some problems on TuneIn, going in and out, and I hope I'm back. But we'll continue on with this tribute and honoring American African women, or African women, period. Beautiful sisters, our compliments, our better half, as they say. But like I said, in the Yinye Saysim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, today is March 30th, and this was in there and by Queen Mother Moore, and this is Baba Baruti's response. Queen Mother Moore says, you've got to be prepared to lose your life in order to gain your life. Baba Baruti stated, move away from the male only warrior designation. It may work wonders for a weak and bruised ego, but singular role of males as warriors is un-African and not historical, ahistorical. Lest we forget Queen Nzinga, Queen Judith of Ophassas, Nefertari Amun's, Queen Hatshepsut, Queen Makeda of Sheba, Yasantiwa, Queen Nandi, and Queen Tai were some of our best African warriors. African women on the continent and throughout the diaspora remain part and parcel of the African fighting tradition. I dare you to dismiss Asada Shakur, Winnie Mandela, Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, Fannie Lou Hamer, Sojourner Truth, Amy Jacques Garvey, or Queen Mother Moore. Sisters remain a clear and present threat to European manhood, womanhood, and ultimately the survival of their nation. Why do you think that now, after 133 years of incarcerating free African men, they are after African women? Between 1985 and 1995, the incarceration rate for African men increased 130%, but jumped almost 200% for women. We apparently missed the point of genocide. Europeans fear the power of African women as they fear the power of African men. So we affirm that I honor all of our warriors, men and women. We honor them. But we take special attention to sisters, particularly in this society, who are not valued. I stated that I watched Self-Made, the story of Sarah Breedlove, Madam C.J. Walker. And I understand, and you know too, that when they make a movie, they have what they call artistic licensing. So it will not be exact historically, but there are some things in it that I, took, particularly as it relates to women and how in American society, in European society, because that's what American society is based upon, and that's who runs it is Europeans. So that mindset of men dominating, and if you've seen the movie, you'll see what I'm talking about, how it was hard for her, to even address the convention that Booker T. Washington was at. Now, from what I understand, Booker T. Washington was a big supporter of her historically, and she was a big contributor to Tuskegee Institute and various other endeavors. She was very philanthropic, sister.
And, well, you know, she was self-made. She was the first person to make $1 million, you know, particularly for a woman, not just an American-African woman, for a woman, period. But I'm going to play this little piece to our queens, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Let me see if I can get this together here.
Articulate and cute, kind of quintessential, unique and elegant too. Everything that I need, baby, you are a queen. You're a black love and confident too. Kind of quintessential and you love in you, baby, you are a queen. Everything that I need, yeah. Something about a black woman. Black. Then let me know one of them gotta be the right woman. Right. Gotta respect them cause all of them was created strong. Yeah. Don't meet the standard of beauty, no, they create their own. Full of style and confidence as early as the birth stage. And every year they get more encouraged as they incur age. Cause you know black don't crack. And these women are Nickelodeon, I swear they all at it. Never been the type to mimic what they say look good on TV. Too busy in the mirror saying, man, it's good to be me. Or watching Naturally Gigi. Learning from charismatic that they're precious. As an unearthed amber when looking lavish. You're born, loud, articulate and cute. Kind of quintessential, unique and elegant too. Everything that I need. Baby, you are a queen. You are a queen. You're black, love, and confident too. Kind of quintessential and you love in you. Baby, you are a queen. Everything that I need. Things that I need. Yeah. You gotta love a Nationalista. Beautiful, black, and exclusive. Yeah, she the platinum visa. A black American Express lead ahead of Mother Nature and say Mother knows best. A little olive oil, maybe grape seed. In the winter, protect the styles and quick weeds. Full of variety in class, but don't need any books. Medusa wardrobe, cause she can kill them with any looks. And she don't do it for you, fellas, don't lie to yourself. Working out for her health and her body and wealth. Uniquely individual, not what you see in magazines. Cause who would want a twin once they see that they can have queens? Articulate and cute, kind of quintessential, unique and elegant too. Everything that I need,
things that I need.
Baby, you are a queen.
You are a queen.
You're black, love, and confident too.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of quintessential and you love in you. Baby, you are a queen.
You are a queen.
Everything that I need,
things that I need.
Queen Nefertari, Cleopatra, Nefertiti, beautiful brown baby daughter, sisters from Naturally Gigi. I salute you when I see thee and all you pioneers, cause like the queens from Bar One, you took the throne despite fears. I respect your strength and admire your perseverance and showing the world that black women are more than their appearance. See, he made you royalty, and to show you he meant it, topped you off with a crown, and you wear it as he intended.
You're born, loud, articulate and cute, kind of quintessential, unique and elegant too. Everything that I need. Baby, you are a queen. You're a black, love, and confident too. Kind of quintessential and you love in you. Baby, you are a queen. Everything that I need.
That's right. You are a queen. That's for sure. That's for sure. You are a queen. And it's important that we honor our women, not just in March, but we honor our women daily, every day. And I understand not every sister is a queen, but she should be treated as such. Because there are sisters who are all things. They're doctors, they're lawyers, engineers, any occupation, anything that's being done. There are sisters that they're doing it. My good sister friend, Rosemary Cloud, who was the chief, first sister to be a chief of a fire department, was right here in Atlanta. Appointed by another queen, which was Dr. Asa Hilliard's wife, Bessie Jo Hilliard, in East Point, Georgia. So support sisters. I know there are many, even in the fire service, there were many brothers who acted just like the Caucasians, because I remember, you know, the fight for us to get on the job. They didn't want us on the job, and they sure didn't help want women, and they definitely didn't want black women. But of course we pushed, and of course we have persevered as good sisters who are still on the job, although the numbers are dwindling for us on the fire department, because once those programs that we had to help us, those programs, our numbers are dwindling. We have been retiring. We got on the job in the late 70s, mid to late 70s, 80s into the 90s. And now that we've got 25, 30 years, we're retiring. But what has happened is we're not coming on the job on the entry level. And so that needs to be once again dealt with, because the fire service is a public works job and the people's taxes pay for that service. And so the people should say, we want this occupation like the police department and any other service that our tax dollars pay for to reflect our community. You know, I just don't want to be in sanitation, sanitation maintenance. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a police officer, a teacher, and all those other occupations that tax dollars pay for, demand it, you know. And so, you know, sisters, to me, in fact, honestly, just very quickly on the fire service again, when I first came on the fire service, there was all kind of stuff being said. There was all kind of sexual books around and so forth. Not just Playboy. I'm talking about even hardcore stuff. But when women came in, that stuff ceased. It was put into somebody's locker. It was just laying around back in the day because it was an all-male environment. But, you know, and also, too, tempered the fire department, tempered a lot of attitudes and so forth. So that was a good thing. And of course, there are sisters who are truly capable of doing the occupation, whether from an administrative standpoint or on the fire ground standpoint. So, and that's the thing, is that in this society, they relegate women to a subservient position. And I tried to explain it earlier about human development. When you had Dr. Shekhanjab said there's a two-cradle theory of development, a northern cradle and a southern cradle. And in the southern cradle, where the environment is conducive to living, that's why men and women, they were a complement. Because if the man was out of pocket, she could say, man, bump you. I'm going down to this village about you know, 4 or 5 miles down the road to me and my babies, because I know they'll be treated right. They have plenty of food and everything. But in Europe, coming out of that ice age and so forth, very harsh conditions made men very aggressive. In fact, there's a book by a Caucasian named Michael Bradley, The Iceman's Inheritance. The European sexist, selfish, racist, and greedy nature. And what he talks about in terms of how they treated women, how they relegate, you know, just like the old cartoons of the caveman, bopped a woman on the side of the head and dragged her into the cave. And of course, when she's in that situation, she acquiesces, because why? It wasn't like the sister in Africa who said, bump you, I'm going down the road. No, I'm not going out there. It's cold out there. It's dark out there. There's nothing out there to eat. And plus there's animals out there that I could be eaten. So she just kind of just said, hey, I capitulate to the situation. And of course, that has been historic. That has been historic. Because you know, very few heroic women in European history, because European history is dominated and controlled by men, you know. But there are many stories, many factual stories of African women who came to the fore. In fact, there are sometimes stories when men wouldn't, sisters did. That's the courage. That's why they need to be celebrated. They need to be talked about in such a positive, glowing way and term, because they deserve it. And they need to be protected. I just mentioned the incarceration rates. You know, and I always said about sisters in the society, unfortunately, here in Atlanta, there's almost like 7-8 sisters to one, you know, and there's still people moving here. A lot of sisters move here because more sisters have degrees. There are more education among sisters than brothers. That's just a fact, too. And so the question becomes for them, where is my mate? Where's somebody? And that's why some sisters have chosen to deal with Caucasians or deal with Asians or deal with Latinos and so forth. Because, you know, some of them say, I'm in this position. I've graduated. I got a nice job, a nice home, a nice car and so forth. You know, where's my compliment? And I want him to be. Now, understand that some of the brothers just ain't got it like that. And so there are some sisters who understand that. And so it doesn't make a difference. I ain't saying that, you know, she's going to settle for anything less. But there's something should be something about him that, you know, even though he doesn't have a six-figure job and he may work at a manual labor job, but there's something about him that she understands that he is a man and he has respect. He's intelligent. Because once, you know, they don't value intelligence among African-American men. You know, this is a Caucasian male society. And what is the greatest threat? Well, it ain't women. The greatest threat in this society, the greatest threat to the Caucasian man is the African man. That's why we are treated the way we're treated. That's why sisters sometimes are given positions over men. Because they feel they can deal with a sister. They feel that they could say something to her or she'll, you know, she just might just go along to get along. Where a brother might, you know, take up a position that might be contrary to what is being stated or what is being promoted. So, you know, we have to understand those things. And so the sister shouldn't have to settle for anything less. But the brother needs to understand that he needs to measure up. But we live in a society, though, brothers and sisters, that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. Individualism, materialism, and greed and violence. And so when you have a society like that, you think about what's in it for me. How can I get mine? How can I get over? And so you see where the a brother, you know, he's thinking about looking at a sister from a sexual nature. Oh, how can I? She's fine. How can I get with that? He's not looking at her as a potential mate, somebody he can build with, somebody he can build a family with, somebody he can help out with each other. No, he's looking strictly from sexual gratification. And the sister, she's looking at, well, he's fine. And he got a car and a good job. How can, you know, how can I play him? You know, so it's something that we need to really look at in terms of developing the kind of complementarity and the kind of commitment towards each other, because we need each other. Now, I know there are some brothers and some sisters, they talk about, well, I fell in love with him. You know, he's Caucasian or he's another culture. And of course, many brothers have done, not many, I should use the correct term. There are some brothers that have done the same thing, because really, majority of brothers and sisters have made it and dealt with brothers and sisters. Okay? I know that. Okay? That's the majority. But unfortunately, when you look at almost 70%, over 70% of children born, the brother is not there. He's not there. Let's be real. He's not there to help that sister. Now, there's some of them who realize, listen, we have this baby together, and I'm half-ass working, but whatever I can do to support my baby, I know me and you can't get along. We at each other. But I'm going to support my child. I'm going to do whatever I can. You know, I'll get them Pampers and Similac and any other thing that I got to get to support my baby. And she understands it. And she says, yeah, that's cool. because we made this together and I don't want to raise it by myself. I need to help, you know? So we have to understand these things. This is the kind of society we live in. We, you know, it doesn't promote good relationships. It doesn't promote families. Over 50% of the marriages in this country end in divorce. So you can imagine if there's a problem in society, it's more profound in us. So a 50% for the general society, that's why it's over 70% for us. So we have to understand the importance of our women. I mean, you know, you look at what the church has done. And let's be real. There's a lot of churches, a lot of pastors. They don't want no men in their church. They don't want somebody who's a deacon who might call him out on the extravagant spending that he's doing, you know, and all of the work that the sisters are doing. And the fact that might be two, three sisters in the congregation who are, you know, in a motherly way because of him, you know, that's an issue as well. So there are many issues that we have, but we have to learn to honor, respect, and work with our women. We have to, men who have daughters must love them and present to them what a man should be about. Not just as a father, that's good, but as a man. Everything that you do is, you should be modeling in the society. That's why to me, I've always said, I ain't got no money and I'll never have no money, okay? But what I do have is my name. And it was great to hear my sister, Sister Esmira, who was on the program this past Friday, giving me some love and some props of the things that, you know, I was doing back in Milwaukee as she was growing up, you know. Because to me, you should be a man of your word. You should be a woman of your word, and you should model after that. Be true. Be sincere. Stop, damn it, gaming. Be real. Respect one another. Respect yourself. I used to do this program on developing manhood, and there was a piece I called, you know, about modeling of manhood, where you respect yourself as men and each other as men. You respect your species have. You respect women. I remember I was doing this program one time, and I couldn't get beyond respect for women. All these young men in this class of high school, they had no respect for women. A lot of them didn't have respect for their mothers. Well, a couple of them, their mothers were crack addicts. There was no love there. But we must respect each other. We must respect our women. We must protect them. And yet, many men who have a mother, and they don't want to marry a woman like their mother. Not just how she looks, but how she is. And a lot of that has become, that has been designed by this society about what she does. If you did see Self-Made, the story of Sarah Breedlove, Madam C.J. Walker, then you know that it was tough times and she was a washerwoman, like many of our sisters were. Now today, there are sisters in various occupations throughout the society. I mentioned that earlier. But I'm going to try to get some folks in here on this conversation. That's what we're talking about. And to me, how do you, and what do you think about honoring our sisters, honoring our women? 404-453. Go ahead, Wes.
Yes, sir, Brother Oshie. Right on time, man. I got a question, though, man.
Sure.
Do you think women should be in the military, man? I can see them being a police officer.
If they can be a firefighter and they could be in the police departments, yeah, there's a function for them. I mean, once again, in African society, they're women warriors. They're out there fighting for their country, fighting for their land, fighting for their village, you know, fighting for their nation. So, you know, I think what is problematic, though, Wes, is that because of the hardcore patriarchal society that we live in, so you have women in the military, and of course you have a lot of women who have been raped, You have a lot of women who have been degraded and demeaned and put into a subservient position. You know, if things were honorable, but you can't get that in European society because they ain't honorable, you know.
I look at it this way, man. Really, no damn black person should be in these white folks' army. Man.
I agree with
no
that one,
black
Wes.
Black people should be in these white folks' military, man.
I agree with that, you know. But the reality is that we are. In fact, many of them had to join. At least they felt they had to join because they, you know, they can't be all that they can be in a society. And as a commercial said, be all that you can be in the military. And so they thought, I'll get in the military. Hopefully I don't have to go to war, Iraq, Iran, Vietnam, the new one that's upcoming, wherever that might be, because there's a military base around the world, everywhere. This country is the military arm of white supremacy. That's what this country is, of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And so therefore you hope that there's no skirmishes or whatever, that you may have to deal with conflict, but more than likely there could be. But you just want to go through your time so you can get the benefits. You'll have money for school. You have a federal program for home loans. There's a number of things. And of course, medical care, although some say that's, you know, dubious at best through the Veterans Administration, VA hospitals and so forth. But you have all of that because you were in the military. Also, too, in Milwaukee, the fire department. Hell, they gave you 10 points. I remember that first list that when they did that, it was like, you know, being a military because nobody else could apply for the fire department. Those 10 points, the first 100 people on that list, every one of them had the military points. So if you didn't have it, you know, your chances at that time, but because they've done some few things since then, they've given education as well as residency points. But at that time, so, you know, no, I agree with you. But should women be in the military? Yes. Yeah, and women should be able to fight, you know, if they're well-trained and so forth. There's some women who are well-trained and better than performing than some men, you know? Yeah.
Right. I try to think stuff through all perspectives, man. But I think if anybody black being in the military, they should be over here teaching the rest of us, or the ones that wasn't in the military, this warfare.
Yeah,
okay? we really at war against these guys, man.
Well, listen, Wes, let me say this. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the military service. And I've always said that I would never be a police officer. You couldn't even pay me. You could offer me millions. I would not be a police officer because I could not defend and protect this system and what it has done to our people. So that's my contention. So I would never have done that, you know. But.
Well, look at here, man. Them children down there where I grew up in South Florida.
Okay.
Them fools is blocking the streets up now, man. Parking their cars in the middle of the street, having like block parties, man. And I hope they don't come to where this fool send the military out of these fools, man. They blocking the streets up, man. I hate to see these young folks acting a damn fool down there in South Florida, man.
Is that what's happening down there in South Florida? Well, yes, let me say this to you.
I-95 land.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Damn.
They've already been mobilizing the National Guard. They've been showing us that for 2 weeks, showing caravans of cars and trucks and military vehicles mobilizing the National Guard. Because to me, if you're really going to try to get a handle on this situation, that's what has to happen. Let me take this call. Let me take Jay. All right, Jay, what's up, man?
Hey, you know, Brother Oshi, the reality is we can't do nothing without a woman.
That's right.
Good or bad now. The truth of the matter, if you want to flourish, you need a queen by your side.
That's right.
You know? I mean, at good times you want a queen, and at bad times you want a queen.
That's right. You want that better hand.
It's in a position to where you can deal with all situations. But, you know, every woman ain't a queen. And the reality is, I've always found that when you find a woman that's not in your best interest,
You move on. Yeah, you move on. You move on.
You got to cut them off.
Yeah.
Because I remember I'll never forget this. I was around 14, 15 years old. And I was coming out my building. And this brother shot this other brother over a woman. And he killed the brother. He went to jail. And 2 weeks later, she had another man. And at that point in time, I understood one thing. I ain't never gonna place myself in no position to whereas I'm gonna go to jail over a woman. And believe me, as you get older, you get into situations where things get funky. And I always remember that incident, and it kept me out of a lot of trouble. And I would just be the type that would just get up and walk away. And I'm so thankful I learned that lesson, because I've seen too many brothers get caught up in situations, and I've seen too many sisters get caught up in situations that because one doesn't know, it's sometimes just better to walk away and leave it alone. And that's the only way you're going to be able to keep yourself out of situations that you don't want to be in. Because you know, and I know, if we're going to be honest about it, things have changed over the last 20 years in regards to the relationship between men and women. And I know that men were doing some things 20 years ago, and they're still doing them today. But the things you got away with 20 years ago, you can't get away with today. And that has totally changed the dynamics on how we respond to one another. And anytime, and this is real, anytime you have to get in a situation with a woman where there may be an ounce of any type of violence, you got to leave that woman. Anytime you argue with a woman too much, you got to leave that woman, because it's not going to, it's never going to lead
right. No, it's
to
not.
Anything. And right. And we as men have to get to the point to where we understand that. Because the one thing you can't do, you can't abuse a woman. You can't, because you're the dominant. As the dominant, you can't abuse them. And the funny thing is, I know women that dominate and abuse they men.
Sure.
I know a couple of women from the sensei that will tighten up. I had to laugh.
Right, but see, what's that? But see,
he got caught up in a situation like that. He didn't know the girl was a black belt. I knew she was, but it wasn't my job to tell the fool.
Let him learn for himself, right? Let him learn for himself. Yeah.
And believe me, Oshie, one day, He learned for himself because I knew the brother. He didn't, and I knew her. He didn't know that she was as well trained as she was. And one day he made the mistake of grabbing her, and all I can tell you is she put it on him.
Yeah,
and you know every time I see him now, I give him that milk to let him know I know. And he just looks at me. Yeah. He don't even talk to me no more. That's how it is. And the funny thing is, he was telling a friend that I shouldn't have told him. And I was telling his boy, I wasn't telling that fool nothing because I know how nasty he could be. And he got what he deserved.
Exactly. Well, so
you gotta love black women.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. We live in a society, once as I stated earlier, that perpetuates individualism. This society has never been conducive to relationships, okay? It never has been, because it's all about the individual. It's all about me and mine, to hell with you and yours, period. And so as a consequence, that that situation is more profound than us, than other members and entities in the society, particularly those who have been here a long time. People who have immigrated here, now they bring their culture and their traditions and so forth and kind of mesh it to function in the society. But they don't have high divorce rates. They don't have high rates of physical abuse and so forth. But of course, we do because the society does. See? And so, unfortunately for us, we can't separate ourselves. We can, but we don't. We don't separate ourselves mentally, emotionally, and culturally.
OG, if it wasn't for women, we would never have survived what we have been through as a people, man.
Of course.
You know, it's unfortunately that a lot of us don't understand that.
Right.
Because, you know, even though we have witnessed the brutality of our women from this devil.
Right.
It's always been the woman who has told us it's all right. You know what I mean? And that's why whenever you find a woman that understands culture,
mm-hmm.
man, you got you something. Because you know what's sad that I see today, Oshi, with these young girls, and it's really, really sad, is they have no really perspective on what being a woman is because of what has happened to our community over the last mm-hmm. 25 years. You know, you got something when you find you a young sister that could do simple things like sew.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Cook,
right.
And clean.
Yeah.
That's why I always say teach your daughters how to do those type of basic things. Well, and you know, one of the things that the school has done is took out of the schools home economics, which is a tool
exactly.
to build and sustain the family. But you know, people that don't know that. Like I told Bond, you got to learn how to sew.
Right. Jay.
You got to learn
Jay,
these things.
Men and women need to learn that. They both need to learn it. And that's why, to me, it's important that they learn how to fix a car, change a tire. It's important to learn how to clean a house, to be thorough. It's important that they learn how to just do some basic things. There's some things they may have to call professionals to do, but some basic things. And they learn how to cook, you know. They
need a woman that can't cook.
And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Hey, it's more than you would imagine.
Exactly.
And you know, I have to laugh because I remember my ex, her mother couldn't cook, but you know, that was her father's day to cook. And unfortunately, once he passed away, she had to learn how to cook, and it just was so difficult because cooking is an acquired thing over years. You just can't until you're like 16.
But see, Jay,
65 to learn how to cook.
See, the thing is this. It's the society, because when you are so enthralled in business or job, you don't have time to cook. And so therefore you eat out more, you go take out more. You don't have time to cook, you feel, you know, even on Sundays. You know, it used to be every Sunday, at least you knew on Sunday, you have a chance to sit down to a full course meal, have a meat, have some potatoes and rice or whatever, and some vegetables, and maybe a salad and a dessert. You at least look forward to that. I remember when I was coming up, that would happen periodically, and especially over my grandfather's house. You know, he was in church, you know, and so they'd come home and cook. Now after church, gets
and
that
you know,
money.
That's where I got that pork chop chicken eating preacher from on Sunday.
That's right.
That preacher coming to Big Mama house.
That's right.
And the big piece of chicken. And Papa had to tell her, no, that's not going to happen up in here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not going to happen. He can't get the big
the piece of chicken.
You want that Negro to come sit down at the table? You feed him like you feed everybody else. But that big piece of chicken is mine.
Well, see, that the thing on that is that, you know, some of that is gone. Like I said, now they go to Golden Corral or, you know, one of the big buffet places or another restaurant. What do you got to say, Wes? You still with me, Wes?
Oh, yeah, you right, man. Y'all right, man. Y'all right on the money, man. And ain't nothing like a black woman, man.
That's every right. Day. I mean, every day. Every day.
We came out of woman, man. We came out of black woman, man.
That's right.
Only thing, sad thing I see is how you see on television how they dogging them out, how they letting themselves. This one particular commercial that I talked about, man, they had in the Super Bowl where Trisha Ellen Ross, Diana Ross' daughter, in a room, okay? And this redneck Peckerwood cracker got an axe trying to bust the door down.
I know the commercial. To be honest with you, man, that commercial's funny to me. It's about Sprite. You know, he busts in. He says, yeah, you got the Sprite? He says, oh, yeah, I am thirsty, you know. So, but I understand the symbolism behind stuff, too, though.
I ain't done Peckerwood in a long time, man. That's a good one, Wes. Peckerwood. I gotta use that today in some way. You know?
Yeah, we always have some good adjectives about the European, right? Well, I'm gonna play this right quick, and we'll further talk about this. Is another honor, a letter to our black queens, a letter to our African queens. I'm gonna play this, and because it deserves to be played, and these sisters deserve to have recognition. Oh, I'm sorry. Damn it. I'm sorry about that. Okay, let's...
This your favorite song. Your song. When they put it on, girl, I know you know it.
Dear black woman, I would like to start off this letter by telling you that you are more than just a woman. You are a queen. A queen to this entire world. You see, you don't have to have blonde hair, blue eyes, and fair skin to be a queen.
In my fairy tales, my queens have always had natural hair, brown eyes, and color on their skin. Black queens, please understand that you are the true definition of beauty. Whether you are light-skinned or dark-skinned, all black is beautiful, and never let anyone tell you otherwise. Queens, even though you are extremely gorgeous, you're more than just a pretty face and a nice body. You are intelligent. You are a genius. You have the ability to change the world. Don't ever be afraid to be smart. Don't ever be afraid to think differently than everyone else. Don't be afraid to be you. Never downgrade yourself to what society wants you to be. Always remind yourself that you are a queen, and you shall be treated like such. You shall be treated with respect, and you shall be appreciated daily. Too often, your hard work is never recognized. It has never been easy to be a black woman in America, and it is time for not just America, but the world to recognize and acknowledge greatness that is our black queens. To women everywhere, stop letting boys disrespect you. It is when you present yourself as a queen that you will attract kings. Kings who will love you unconditionally and treat you like royalty. Never settle for less than what you deserve. To all queens, it is time for you all to stop hating on each other and start building each other up. Stop calling each other names that degrade you. Instead, call each other names that lift you up mentally and spiritually. I promise that it's okay to call each other things like beautiful or smart or amazing. It's okay to call each other queens.
When you all come together as one, the world won't be able to stop the greatness that is not just black women, but black queens. As I end this letter, I hope that I have opened your eyes for you to see that you are a queen. You see, it does not matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many kids you may have. It does not matter what your size is. It doesn't matter when you got your education. It doesn't matter what the world may want you to be. And it does not matter if you are light-skinned or dark-skinned. Know that you are and always will be a queen. To my queens, be blessed, be humble, be royal. Sincerely, Timeless Aki.
Yes, my brothers and sisters, our queens. We need to respect them. We need to respect them. We need to protect them. We need to honor and revere them. For they're the mother. They're literally, historically, scientifically, the mother of humanity. And I know there's some of us who don't understand that. And I know there's some cultures that don't understand that. Because there are many sisters who are, you know, in the world. I got a sister on Queen 404.
Yes.
How you doing, Queen?
Hi, Brother Oshi. Hi, family. Well, since I am a woman and an African woman, and the show is about us, I felt compelled to, you know, say something.
Well, thank
and
you.
And it's so much to say about African womanhood that I really don't know where to start. But I'll start with this. Yes, we are the mother of all humanity. And that we have lost some identity. Our identity of that we have, and it's because of the culture we have been inculcated into, where we know the story past 500 years or more. But I think that we really should have to start listening to one another, truly listening to one another, and those who know should teach our, you know, you have a sister you're interested in and she's not, you know, then you should teach her how to cook and spend some time. One thing I, quality time with herself and her children, because all children are ours. All of our African children are ours. And you never know what you pour into a child that seed will grow and develop into. And we all have had people pour into us in our lives. And another thing, I see this distancing as a good thing so that we can get to know one another again, sit down and have those meals, cook, clean, the thing back to the basics, back to nature, back to what we used to do and who we used to be. This is time we can forget about this culture and get back into our own self. So I just had to speak up on account of our mothers who have come before us and the mothers who will come after us. So I felt compelled. I had to say something.
Well, thank you, Queen.
Black
I thank you, Queen Aaliyah.
Thank you all. I love you all.
Ashe, Ashe. You know, I got only got a few more minutes, and like I said, I always, to me, every month is Women's Month, particularly for our sisters. I have a deep, profound respect for our women. We would not be where we are without our women. Even though many of us don't want to acknowledge that, we think that we're self-made and did it and got it on our own. But we need each other. And we need to learn to respect one another, trust one another, believe in one another, work with one another. The woman is not behind you. Or to the woman is to the side of you, fighting with you, struggling with you, working together to make things happen for our community, for our children. And we need to respect that. So, Jay, you got to say something before we get out of here. Brother Wes, it's always good to hear you.
Brother Oshie,
yes.
There's nothing in the world like the African mother. And the African woman is our backbone to the end of time and always would be. All I can say is the Yoruba could never compete with the queen. I hope our brothers figure that out and leave them Peckerwoods female dogs alone.
Okay, man.
Have a good day, Gucci, and I can't wait to win them.
Okay, brother. Peace.
Peace to West.
Peace. Brother Wes.
Peace, brother. I like to say, if God made anything more better and beautiful for a black woman, I ain't seen it yet.
Well, that's for sure.
That's the greatest gift on the planet right there, man. Yeah.
All right.
I die and kill my sister, man.
Right on.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Brothers and sisters, we're coming to the end of another program. I appreciate all those who've listened, all those who called in, and I know we did have some technical difficulties that were later straightened out. I'm thankful for that. I played Woman of Color with Gary Taylor and Scotty from The Whispers and Phil Perry and so forth. And because to me, we need to honor our women. And so to me, every day, week, month is a day that we do respect our women and work with our women to learn to trust one another, love one another, respect one another, and to build with one another. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate your time. So we end this program, like in all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure in the hell don't want to pay for. But it is ours. And we as African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora need to claim. We need to go home. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Santa, Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie, Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. A Bibi Fahodie family, we will be victorious. We will be victorious because we will come together. And that is the only way that we can be victorious as one. We can't be fragmented. We just can't have sisters over here and brothers over here and brothers going away. No, we have to be together. Bibi Fahodie. Peace, family. God bless you. And be with the program on Wednesday where we'll be talking about the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and what it really means. We'll get your perspective. Peace, family.